Welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Yesterday, I dropped off packages at the post office, and they should be on their way to each and every one of you. Enclosed are two stickers that I think any Little House on the Prairie fan would be proud to display. I hope that you have had a chance to vote in the Walnut Grove 1883 election, which I think is a lot of fun. To vote, visit walnutgrovecast.com and look for the link. I would like to thank the following supporters for their continuous support. David Webb, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois-Nishiyama, Peyton England, Rebecca Frederick, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast, Anne Quinn, Jill Stillman, Michelle Plug, Dottie Cashin, Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Leah Mitchell from the Retro TV podcast, Laura Solarin, Kim and Jack Lair from the Unsolved Mysteries Rewind podcast, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind podcast, Stacey Keller, Matt Mercier, Dean Butler, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files podcast, Ginny Comer, Ginny Schneider-Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Julia Monin, Laura Furman, Megan Parker, Melissa Gilbert, the No Agenda podcast, Rebecca Harris, Sherry Benner, Susan King, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, Whitney, Julia Jin, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten TV podcast, Don Roberts, Samantha Larson-Randall, Max Duration, Aaron Wortman and Liz Serha, Brian S., Bobby Young, Brenda Worsley. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. This is Mark, and you are listening to Walnut Grovecast. I am on today, Leah Mitchell. How are you, Leah?
Hi, good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Even more of a morning for you. You're up bright and early.
It's 8. Yeah, it's 8 a.m. That's about average, and it's an awesome morning here in Colorado. So nice. It's so nice out today, yeah.
It is raining here in New York at 10 a.m.
Oh, I would actually prefer the rain. I like the dark, dreary days.
Oh, no.
I do. I don't know. I've always loved that.
Yeah, my son is really into that. He's like, when it rains, he's all like, yeah. I think it's because he can stay inside and play video games.
I know. You got an excuse to like kind of be lazy.
Yes. Yeah. Total rainy day type thing.
Yeah.
So today we are reviewing an episode. This is one of your favorite episodes, right?
Oh, it really is. I love it. We're doing Divorce Walnut Grove Style.
It's a play on also Love American Style's title.
Right.
Did you ever watch that in the reruns?
I have never seen that
really?
TV show.
Have you ever heard of it? Or
I have heard of it. I don't know the cast. I don't know anything about it, but I've just heard of the TV series.
It's kind of a sketch comedy type thing, and it's kind of, I think it's worth watching. I think you would enjoy it it holds on to the hippie look and feel of the time. I believe it was late 60s, early 70s.
And, oh, that's right up my alley.
And it's really, really, it's fun, and it's really light, though. It's like, at least I remember it as being pretty light. But if I'm thinking of the right show, I wonder if I'm thinking of Laughing. I think I'm thinking of Laughing. But but Divorce America, you know what? I'm going to look it up and I'm going to see, and people will be like, what are you talking about, Mark? So
I know, right?
And that's fine. But we're in season 7, episode 7, and we are in a new I guess, dimension, a new part of the universe of Little House on the Prairie. We are, I don't know, we're in the new generation, I would say. Right?
Yep, yep. Laura and Almanzo just got married.
Who's Almanzo again?
That's going to be how I pronounce it. Y'all are just going to have to get used to that. It's Almanzo. I might throw an Almanzo in once in a while.
Should we call him Al? Maybe would that be better? Hey, Al Wilder.
With Albert.
Al Wilder. You know, he's our plumber.
Manly. I mean.
Yeah, Manly. There you go. We'll call him Manly. I don't know how comfortable I am with that.
I am not either.
But we're talking about a very memorable episode because we get to see Laura growing up a little bit, but also not growing up at all. Like we're starting to see, I guess, Laura acting like a child, but also kind of trying to be the teacher and kind of getting into it. You mentioned how they were only married 6 episodes before this.
Correct.
So, I mean, we're only now are we starting to see Laura as a married woman, you know, as
an adult. Really is the first. Yeah, this is the first episode besides the wedding episode that we see her with Almanzo. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Once you go down that road,
I know that was funny. It doesn't I didn't even realize I was doing it.
It feels right, doesn't it? No. Dean Butler approves.
But yeah, we finally see her as the wife role, which seems like she's struggling with right now because she has her teaching career and she's trying though, but I guess it's hard for any 16-year-old to be a wife.
Now, do you think at all she's maybe playing the teacher role, maybe LARPing a little bit, like she's kind of role playing? She's going through the motions, but do you think it's real? Like, do you think I mean, I don't know if I'm buying into it, I guess. Like, how are you just immediately like this teacher person, you know?
Yeah. So I can't remember. So this is her being a teacher now, before she wasn't when she was married. Is that correct? I can't even remember.
You know, I'm not sure. I've not.
I know.
I need a timeline.
I know. Damn it. And I even have that on my list. It's like, okay, I'm going to make Mark a timeline. I have it on my list. Yeah. If it happens, I'll never know. But yeah, it would be great to have a timeline.
Well, I see what we do is we jump into a clip and we have Almanzo coming down saying, "Where's my food, woman?" And Laura's
I'm hungry.
Using the entire dining room table as her desk, which I just think is terrible. And that's it. You know, he's complaining about everything. It's kind of funny, actually. But this sets you up for what kind of episode this is. And believe it or not, I think of this as a very lighthearted episode. And I do want to mention this, you know, my wife, Betsy, always hated Little House on the Prairie. I don't know if she even likes it now, but this was the first episode that she actually watched and enjoyed, claimed to enjoy.
Oh, fantastic.
She thought that the gag of breaking the window over and over again was hilarious. So
nice.
And my
son watched this with me last night. So this was Levi's second episode of Little House on the Prairie.
And what did he think?
And I enjoyed watching it with him because I've seen it so much that the gags are funny, but I don't laugh out loud anymore, you know, but he was laughing out loud, which is making me like re-enjoy those silly little moments.
Yeah,
it was fun.
But here we go. By the way, Almanzo's in the tub upstairs.
Right.
Like, what's going on here? Do they plumbing up there?
I don't know. I'm curious about that. Why was it upstairs?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a tub upstairs outside of a hotel on Little House.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But here we go.
I don't know if that field's ever going to be ready for planting tree stumps and rocks. Stew again, huh?
Yeah, it's stew again. I love it when my family complains about my food. Like, what? This? You know, and it's like, you make it then.
Jeez. I know, exactly.
It's a free world.
Yeah. I swear, I don't know how I'm going to correct all those papers and prepare tomorrow's test.
Must be tough.
I'll manage.
Maybe you're making the job a little harder than it is.
By the way, he gets like a 4-ounce little scoop of...
Right, complaining about how hungry he is.
This dude's 6'3 and 280 or something. You know, like, he's a huge guy. He's plowing fields and everything. Here's 4 ounces of stew and a biscuit.
This will hold you over.
I don't deny its possibility, but there are still people in this town who believe I'm too young and inexperienced.
Well, they're going to learn differently.
Well, also, on the table, I don't know if you noticed this, they have a type of, I guess, salad dressing serving thing. And it looks like balsamic vinegar, oil, and something.
And like maybe some salt.
And salt?
Maybe. I don't know. I
think milk?
Yeah, I see it right now. There's a salt and pepper shaker. And then there's vinegar and oil. And it is super fancy.
But it's for salad. It's not really a centerpiece. Curious, it's maybe another spot for a microphone.
I was just gonna say, there's just a microphone behind it.
They're like, we're out of ferns.
Yeah,
can't put the ferns near the bread.
Yeah, which I don't think she has too much foliage inside her house.
Oh, I have a keen eye now for the ferns.
Oh, you do? Okay, I just wasn't I wasn't aware.
Also, do you have that freeze framed where they, you know, kind of like from the kitchen staring out into the dining room? There's like something on the wall, and I'm just kind of curious what that is. I don't know if you know what that is. It's a
looking into the kitchen or looking out of the kitchen?
It's on the wall of the kitchen, looking if you're standing in the kitchen to the left of the oven. And there's a rag, like I guess a dish towel, hanging. And above it, it looks, I don't know what it is, like maybe some type of flagpole. It almost looks like you could stick a flag in there or something. Oh, you know what I bet that is?
Oh, I see it. Oh, I missed it. Yeah.
I think I know what that is. Let me ask you. Do you know what that is? Do you have any ideas? I think I figured it out. I think it's a matchstick holder. Like, I think those are matches in there. And you can just...
maybe.
To light the oven.
Oh, that makes sense. That's got to be what that is.
I wonder. All right. If you're watching this and you go to the episode at about 3 minutes in, I'm just kind of curious.
We're like at 3:40.
Like, is that a thing? I wonder. I've never heard of that. I've never seen this. But that's what it kind of looks like. It looks like matches inside of a little cast iron thingamajiggy.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
But, the cast iron thingamajiggy to the left of the stove.
Yeah, it's store-bought.
Yeah. Are you...
Sorry. We have a better angle. 3:15, we have a better angle of the oil and everything. That's actually kind of nice. It looks like... It's not balsamic. That's some type of, I don't know what kind of, some vinegar. You know what that is? Malt vinegar, oil, salt, I guess, right?
Yeah, because I see the pepper, so it's got to be salt and pepper.
Oh, is that pepper? It's transparent from here, so that's interesting. All right. It's really big. I feel like that would knock over in my house.
They don't have kids yet.
That's true, yeah.
Gonna eat?
Has to cool off anyway.
No, it doesn't. Now, Manzo's his whole chest is showing his hair. It's so funny. Like, I think he's getting a little bit into the Michael Landon territory here. Show my chest just as much as you show your chest. Or Michael said, hey, maybe you can let your chest breathe.
Now that you're married, man. Yeah.
That's something I spoke to about Dean Butler, is that when he came onto the show, he was the new kind of, I guess, sex symbol aspect of the show. And I wonder if there was ever a conversation where it's like, Michael's like, you should let that breathe for a little bit. You'd be surprised at the outcome outside of the set. But I don't know if Dean Butler ever had a problem with attracting anyone.
Yeah, he's very handsome. He kind of plays a dopey guy, in this series. But yeah, he's quite handsome.
Yeah, but it's just so funny that we kind of see that he kind of got around a little bit, right? I mean.
And I didn't realize that, yeah.
I understood that he did, but he comes off as such like a good guy, like, you know.
He does.
There's a lot of broken hearts behind him, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to know his backstory. Oh, like, we never really.
That should be somebody writing some weird, creepy fan fiction out there. That'd be interesting.
Oh, I'm sure it's out there. I'm not going to search for it.
Yeah, that's a rabbit hole. I don't know if I deserve to go down.
Honey, the stew's watery and it's only half cooked.
It is?
Yes.
And it's so funny. She has to test it. It's like, what, is he lying?
But yeah.
Let me torture myself. Kind of like when somebody asks you to smell something. You know?
Right. This smells nasty here. Smell it.
Smell it. Yeah, it's like with milk. I never smell milk anymore. I just have my kids smell it. Smell this. What does it smell like? And he'll just shrug his shoulders. I'm like, all right, that's good enough then. What is it supposed to smell like? Nothing.
All right. Right. Yeah, if you smell something, there's something wrong.
And he grabs a Pop-Tart. But so Almanzo busts out the 4-string guitar and starts kind of plucking away. And this is kind of the beginning of, I don't know, he's proud of his little song, and she's busy, and I think it's like a newlywed type of thing.
It's going to play for
you.
Oh, sorry. Go on.
They're just trying to figure out each other still.
So, yeah, they're like you said, they're trying to learn about each other, and they never lived together. I mean, it was not exactly a period of, you know, an 18... Oh, do we... You know what? We didn't mention when this first aired. I don't think.
No. What do we got? November 10th, 1980. So this is going to be set in 1880.
Yeah, so it wasn't too... probably wasn't common at all to live with the man before marrying. Or the woman.
No, definitely not.
And so, yeah, they're learning their, like, little quirks, and he likes to pluck on the guitar, and she likes to get her work done quietly, And the house is not huge, but it is certainly larger than my first apartment with my wife. And we all go.
Oh, yeah. This house is huge. In my eyes, it's definitely big. It's way bigger than my house.
I just look at this as the kitchen and living. I mean, I guess they have a living room, dining room, and kitchen so far. I don't know what the rest of the rooms look like.
Yeah.
But here we go.
Well, I'd love to hear it, of course, but I can't do that and concentrate at the same time.
Well, I'll go up to the bedroom and practice then.
Almanzo, I'm sorry, but I can still hear it up there, and I really...
Where am I supposed to go, then?
Would you mind outside?
Outside?
Yeah.
You bet I mind. Can't a man relax in his own home?
Well, I just have to get through this.
Well, you may get through it, but I have serious doubts whether I will.
I wonder if Brenda Sue could be a place where he could practice. Could he go there?
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
What are you talking about?
We have no life together. That's what I'm talking about. I work like a mule all day at the store. I come home and work some more, clearing the field to plant it, from sunup to sundown on the weekends. But it'd all be worthwhile if I could at least get a little attention from my own wife.
I'm not trying to ignore you.
Well, it comes out the same.
That's not true.
Now, this is also the young Laura coming out, right? This is her shrillness coming out. This is the 16-year-old
yes.
that Melissa Gilbert was.
Yes, it really is.
And it's weird because it's a weird comparison that we're seeing. We're seeing it transform right before our eyes, where she was so mature like 2 minutes ago. And now it's like, man, it's not fair.
Yeah. What? She's mature when she's doing her teaching and she's grading the paperwork, but yeah, when she starts getting in a fight, you could almost picture her just running out the door up the hill.
Like, and that's she's like, I can't do
that's
it.
That's what
anymore.
She wants to do so bad.
Yes,
it'd be different if at least supper could be a little bit special.
I told you I was sorry the stew wasn't ready tonight.
Well, it's not tonight. It's every night. It's getting so you set out a table with the same love and care as you'd feed the stock.
That's not fair. Now I work every bit as hard as you do, and I'm not complaining.
Well, maybe you don't have much to complain about. Sure, you work hard, but you enjoy it.
Is that wrong?
Well, it is if you neglect me. Us, everything we're supposed to have together, just so you can get great marks from the town for being a terrific school teacher.
Blah, 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 shut up. So, it's like getting a migraine with these two. Get a divorce already. it's not going to last. It's not going to last out this way. It's like, I just think this is the type of thing. People go through it. It's not totally uncommon. And so they're having a whole argument, and Laura's not really sure what to do. And we get the next morning, and Laura is making breakfast. They're still angry. And Laura's leaving for school. Pa talks to Laura. Almanzo had already ran into Pa. And Pa's getting a little concerned, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Pa.
And I don't know if you know this, but Charles is a great person to talk to in town. Everybody, he seems to be able to.
He is. He's almost the town therapist.
Yeah.
He really is.
I didn't see you.
Yeah, well, no wonder with that load of books you're carrying. You gonna wade through all that tonight?
Afraid so.
You feeling all right?
I'm a little tired, I guess.
That's funny. I was talking to Almanzo this morning. He said the same thing.
Well, we've both been working hard.
You sure that's all it is?
We had a little argument, but it's nothing to worry about.
Anything you want to talk about?
No, it's nothing, really.
All right. Hey, why don't you and Almanzo come over tomorrow? I'm going to have the new picture window in.
Do we ever see Laura go fishing again after she grows up? I don't think.
No, no, not at all.
But it's something she loved so much, you know?
She did love doing it. But yeah, no, she never goes fishing or frogging ever again.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
It is. She has other things to do now. She's got a home to take care of and a man to feed.
Well, let's be real here, Leah. It's the 80s. So it's a time for a woman to really expand her horizon. No more frogging. That's very 70s.
True that.
And as we heard, Pa's getting a new picture window so you can look at the horses, I guess. But, you know, this whole thing with the windows is such a weird thing. Very often when you look at buildings and houses that were built in the 19th century, they have little windows because as technology would go on, you were able to make larger and larger sheets of windows and glass. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was until around this period of time where you were able to get large sheets of glass. And it was so much more expensive too.
Yeah. And so what did they have before? I always thought it was glass, but I guess it's just an open window. And then you have the shutters.
Well, they had smaller glass.
Okay, like the little squares. Okay.
Yeah, they had like maybe 4x6 size panes of glass. And if you're ever in like older houses and everything, you look at the glass and how it's imperfect. Because the way they would make glass, I don't know if it was exactly in the late 19th century they would make this, but, you know, they would heat up sand and, you know, they would lay it down flat. And that's kind of how they were making window pane glass. But as, you know, the Industrial Revolution started and factories were manufacturing glass, you were able to make huge sheets of glass. And now he's looking at a piece of glass that's maybe, I don't know, 2x3 feet. So that's pretty, you know, it's a nice step into a modern direction. But of course, it's a gag that continues to go on and on and on. Now, whenever there's stress in a relationship, the worst possible thing to happen is for there to be a third party that reminds you of a happier time. And Brenda Sue, yes, who is a very attractive young lady who there seems to be some type of history with Almanzo and her, and she's a successful musician and they have a common interest in music. Even though he doesn't appear to be able to play very well. He just, I think, is a fan of maybe.
He's plucks around. Yeah.
Yeah. He's no Pa, you know, on the fiddle.
Yeah. So what I found interesting about Brenda Sue is it seemed like she may have been a reoccurring character, just the way they just kind of threw her into the scene. And I actually thought she was the same girl as in Annabelle.
Yeah, I could see the connection. I could see why you would think that.
And it would make more sense because then we kind of had a little backstory on her and Almanzo. Yeah. But it was like, it's like, how many women did Almanzo have that we don't even know about?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that we even are starting to see a pattern of Almanzo is having a certain type.
Yeah.
That Brenda Sue looks exactly like. What was the name of the other girl?
Christy. I had to look her up last night. Yeah, Christy.
Who else is on this list?
I know. Yeah, we
Nelly.
Don't know.
Nelly.
No, oh, yeah. Just the one date that...
it's one unforgettable date. It's unforgettable.
Was the best.
But here we have a little bit of a past, and we have, a little bit of a flirtation even. A little bit of a...
Yeah.
Like, whoa, what's going on here?
Well, hello.
Well, how are you, Brenda Sue?
Never better. Aren't you the hardworking family man?
I guess.
Marriage agree with you?
Sure.
Such a waste.
What? See, that's...
That line. Oh, my God. She's such a bitch.
Well, here's the thing.
Excuse me for saying that.
That should have been the line that Laura heard. And that's where she would tackle on her or something.
That would be nuts. Yeah.
I haven't seen you for a while.
Been away. Chicago.
Chicago?
Got my first song published.
Really?
Yes, isn't that wonderful?
It certainly is.
Yeah, it certainly is. So they're talking about the song.
The song is called My Only Love. That's pretty important for the storyline.
That's very sweet. at first, of course, we're thinking, I wonder if it was Almanzo the reason why the song was ever written, right?
Well, she did say that he was not inspired by this. He wasn't the...
Yeah.
What did she say?
Well,
I can't remember her line exactly.
I have it right here. Yeah. I'm going to let it play because she kind of lets him know that, hey, you know...
It wasn't about you, buddy, so yeah.
Well, Laura's walking by and she's about to apologize a little bit. Or at least come to a compromise with Almanzo.
Right.
And she sees them talking, giggling. It's all visual, but.
And you did not inspire the title.
Oh, I'm sure not. Is it out in the stores yet?
Since a week ago.
Well, I'll have to try and pick up a copy while I'm asleep yet.
I don't want to interrupt.
Hello, Laura.
Well, now, Brenda Sue has some wonderful news.
Really?
Yeah, she just got her first song.
I'm so glad.
Oh, boy. This is... <It's>... We love Laura here, right?
Oh, it's like, best.
Yeah, it's kind of like, get away from my man, I'll scratch your eyes out.
I don't want to keep you from working like a mule all day.
Oh, ouch.
Beth!
My.
And that's another thing. All right, so this one little line. We get the comment before from Brenda Sue. Mm-hmm. We get the my. We have now learned to hate this girl. Or she's the enemy, right?
Oh, and yeah, she's definitely the enemy.
I think it's unfair because she really doesn't have an interest at all in him. I don't think.
No, but it looks like sounds like she likes playing games a little bit, though.
Yeah.
Like she's pushing some buttons when she doesn't need to be.
and of course, Laura cannot. She's not somebody who's just going to let it go.
So, oh, no way.
Here we are in the kitchen, and just like a good woman, she goes right to cooking. I'm just kidding. that's Mark at walnutgrovecast.com. So my sexist comment of the day. But yeah, she's right in the kitchen, she's kneading dough, and I would imagine when you are angry, kneading dough might be the right type of thing to be doing.
Oh, definitely get some aggression out.
Yeah.
Really? Well, I never saw two happier people.
Brenda Sue and I never got along except for music, and that's what we were talking about. Brenda Sue told me.
I don't want to hear what Brenda Sue told you.
Why? Because it might ruin any excuse you have for being angry?
I don't need an excuse to be angry. I saw the way you two were looking at each other. That's the only excuse that I need.
Laura, I'm going to tell you something. You know what being jealous of Brenda Sue is? Stupid, that's what. Just plain stupid.
And, I mean, he's lucky she doesn't kill him right here.
Yeah, she's already pretty upset.
Now, do you think he's calling her stupid here?
No, he did not call her stupid.
No.
Her actions were stupid. And then she says, you know, if that's stupid, then I'm too stupid to make dinner. So she kind of calls herself stupid. She starts twisting those words like wives tend to do.
No, and husbands and husbands. But Laura, well, I'm going to play. So Laura runs. She does run off, right? She does.
We don't get to see her actually physically run, but we know she ran all the way to Pa's house.
She has like 3-inch heels on, so she's not going to do too much running. And the amount of laces on that thing, she's not going to take them off to go run. Here we are. We're Pa, and he's getting the window ready. He's actually very excited. And
the whole family's gathered round to watch Pa put up this special window.
It's right up there with the late 40s or early 50s family getting their first TV. You know, everybody's so excited.
Yeah.
There. Ben, what do you think?
That's a great window, Pa.
Now, let's just see if it fits. Perfect. Hey, fits just perfect.
Yeah.
I like it, Pa.
It really is beautiful, Charles.
I think so, too. A few more nails and we'll be all done.
And I've never seen anybody slam this door, by the way. So Laura runs in, just barges in. She doesn't live there anymore. She could not.
What on earth?
I'm leaving Almanzo.
I just think it's one of the funnier scenes of the entire episode. Breaking the window.
The look on Charles's face, like, oh my gosh.
Because this is also, you know, it's not cheap either. So.
Oh, I'm sure it's not. He had to plow a lot of fields to get the money for that window.
So Amanda's at home cooking. I don't know why he can't just make something simple. Some leftovers or just eat fruit. But or go to the restaurant. I'm not really sure what's going on here.
Yeah.
I mean, what did I do? I said, how do you do, Brenda Sue? And she turned on me like a snake.
So he hears somebody pulling up to the house, and he's like, oh, God, thank God she's back. And he's like, I'm not going to be desperate. And he goes to open the door. Somebody knocks. And who is it? It is...
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
And he lets the cat out of the bag. They're arguing. Laura can be found. Although it's funny. When did Harriet start having such an interest in Laura's life, delivering material?
Yeah, that was kind of weird. Mr. Olson is always the one that delivers. Where's he at?
Yeah, where is he at? He's outside looking at his new wires.
Oh, yeah.
So, we do get the cat is out of the bag. So you're letting Harriet know that there's a problem.
Yeah, and big mistake right there.
What does Harriet do? She runs right into the house, into the restaurant, I'm sorry, right underneath where there is a deer head and yells upstairs.
Kitchen mother. What is it, Mother?
Laura has left El Manzo.
And we get like the creepy picture of Alice in Arngrim with her eyes like super wide. Like whenever you see like a mom who's a serial killer, like she does the crazy ex-girlfriend type of look.
Yeah.
But Alice in Arngrim will always go down as probably the most expressive looking person on the entire show. She can do so much with her face.
She's like the Jim Carrey of Walnut Grove.
And she knows how to really turn up that I'm crazy look, you know. And
she doesn't have like any dialogue through this whole entire episode. I mean, that was it right there.
Yeah, it's like you got your paycheck, you can go home now. And maybe that was also kind of a Michael Landon thing. It's kind of like, we got to get everybody in. Everybody's got to make their, you know, money.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's like, oh, you don't have any lines? All right, we can save, you know, 80 grand and not pay you for this episode.
There you go.
So they're talking about, back at the Ingalls house, they're talking about what's going on. Laura's talking about moving back. So I'm just going to play some of this.
Do you mind?
Mind? Of course not. It'll be just great living in a loft with a little sister who never stops talking, big sister who snores.
I really am sorry.
That's all right, darling. The shutters will keep out most of the cold till Bill's cuts me a new pane tomorrow. I still think you're wrong about Brenda Sue and Almanzo, but I don't blame you for wanting to leave. There's just no excuse for a husband to call his wife stupid and then turn around
Charles.
And
start...
Now, the weird thing here is she went and fibbed. She's saying that Almanzo called her stupid, which really bothers me. It's really twisted.
Right, but you know what? She was totally angry at the time, and sometimes you do hear things that
I guess
didn't happen. I mean, he said the word stupid, so she's assuming that he did call her stupid.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all Laura's hearing. I mean, that's all Pa's hearing, and Pa's so happy to have his right. little girl back.
Oh my gosh, he is elated.
So you stay here as long as you want, that bad man.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I'm just surprised Pa didn't, you know, wind up and clock Almanzo, you know, in this episode. I don't think he does, right?
No, he doesn't. He says that he will, though.
Yeah, he's ready to. Yeah, but it's like, you know what? Now there's the ring on the finger, and I just don't think it's as appropriate anymore. You can't just go around punching your son-in-law.
Yeah. But yeah, it's funny how Pa keeps on telling Laura, I love ya. You know your Pa loves ya. You know, I love now, you. I love you, Laura.
Now I'm seeing the doghouse in 20 minutes and 35 seconds. Yeah, I wonder, somebody must have made that for them, right? They're like, I'm going to make a little version of the little house.
I don't know. But yeah, so Michael Lannon was the director of this episode.
Yeah.
Which was obvious because he always has the coolest camera angles. I've always noticed it. And we see different sides of the house.
Oh.
And I noticed the doghouse, which I've never seen before.
And, it looks,
and it's in the shape of Little House.
And it looks new. Like the wood looks
it does.
Really new.
Yeah, the wood looks really new. You're right.
Now, I do want to make one observation. Right. Oops, my screen just totally blanked out. Oh, that's weird. All right. No big deal. So I'm looking at the little house, and this is at 20 minutes and 35 seconds. If people who want to play along, I'll put a screenshot of it. So you know the little house. You know what it looks like. You have the door, and to the left you have the wood pile, right? Now, what's behind that wood pile on the inside of the house? That's Carrie's bed, right?
I'm not even at 2013 yet. I'm at
2035, sorry.
Oh, 2035, okay.
But I'm just saying, even if you just think about the little house, you have... You have to the left of the front door the big pile of logs of firewood, and behind that firewood would be on the other side of the wall where Carrie sleeps.
Yeah,
where it's unfinished. I'm like, is it unfinished because of all the dampness that all those logs create? It's like just putting your bed next there. There really are bugs there, probably.
There probably is.
Or, you know, I'm surprised they didn't just have a hole in the wall so you can just get wood from outside right there and poor Carrie has to sleep there.
Grab us a piece of wood out of your room.
And poor Carrie has to sleep there with a draft coming in. Cut more wood, there'll be less of a draft. I don't know. I'm just looking at it and thinking about it for the first time. And you and I do a podcast called Retro TV, and the Brady Bunch comes up quite a bit. If you look for Retro TV, you'll find it a really great podcast, and it's a lot of fun. And I think we do a lot of what we do on this show, but we apply it to, I guess, TV shows from all generations, really, except really new stuff. But the Brady Bunch is another one of these things where everybody's bedroom on the show oversees the backyard, but it's kind of physically impossible.
It is, yeah.
So whenever I see things on television, I like to kind of visualize if there's a reality to it. And yeah, I wonder if they did plaster the wall and the plaster didn't take because they have this big pile of wood out there in real life, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it could be.
So it's kind of, I don't know. The mysteries of Little House on the Prairie continue on Walnut Grove Cast. So the next morning we see, as I said, we're looking at the little house. We see the doghouse, a little doghouse like that. I think would be kind of cool. Right. Be a fun project.
Yeah. There's another scene where you see the doghouse a lot better too.
I'm surprised.
That'll be coming up.
Kim's husband, Jack, has not created a doghouse that is in the shape of a little house. He does a lot of building, so I would imagine he would. It's on his list.
I'm sure it's on the honeydew list, yeah.
I don't know. I wonder if I could pull that off. It's something my dogs would certainly stay away from. They would just look at it and go, well, sit next to it, but I'm not going in it. It's a trap. But here we go. Laura's just walking around eating toast, drinking milk like she lives there.
Psst. Yeah, well, she did what?
What?
Just a few months ago, that was her home, so.
It's a one-way door, Leah. Ma's not even up. She's walking around in her skimpies.
Hi, you're all early. I thought I'd go out to the house and make breakfast for Almanza before he leaves.
If you look closely, when Ma's coming, she wakes up, she's brushing popcorn off of her clothes. I was kidding.
Oh, no. It was a good night.
There's popcorn all over the floor. They have to take advantage of a full house, you know? Yeah, they have to give a reason for Laura to leave. That's the real reason. She's like, I can't do this. I cannot go back and hear my parents below me.
All right. Oh, Laura, I'm so relieved.
I bet.
I thought you'd see things differently in the morning.
Well, everything you and Pa said, well, it helped me to make up my mind. Even Albert. He's been just wonderful. I don't know what got into me.
Same thing that gets into all of us from time to time.
I better go. I'll miss him.
Let's all have supper together this week.
We will. Goodbye, Mom. Thank you.
I love that they think the story's over. Like, dun-dun-dun-dun. You know, it's not over here.
Oh, I know, yeah. Pa fixed it. We're good now.
Yeah, it's like I just needed to sleep it off. Oh, women, they're so crazy. You know, it's kind of a little bit insulting. Don't you think?
It really is.
You know what? Sometimes you just, you know, women overreact is really the story, the message we're learning.
You just sleep it off, and the next morning we'll wake up nice and fresh and want to go make coffee for our hubby.
Oh, tequila, you know, it can really bring out the worst in people. So with Laura snoring, Albert didn't get any sleep. So he's like, I'm going to bed. And so it's a funny little gag too.
In his pajama dress. Love the pajama dress.
Yeah. He's always wearing basically the same outfit that Mary and Laura would wear with less. Yeah.
Without the head bonnet thing.
Yeah. So, Laura goes home and she's like, Manly, let's make up. And she finds a note, which my computer is bugging out a little bit here. And it says, very, very nicely written, my only love, Brenda Sue Longworth. And she just loses her mind from this. You know, I mean, and in the reality of things, are you feeding back or am I feeding back? You hear a squeal?
No, I don't hear anything.
Oh, okay. That's weird. All right. You don't hear that? Am
I going? That bell? I hear a bell.
Oh, yeah. I don't know where that's coming from.
I don't know. I'm going to put you on mute for just a sec.
It's gone now. My ears.
Levi!
That isn't me. It's outside.
Oh, so there's a bell outside of her house. We don't know.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure it's not my... If I get my headphones too close to my microphone, it'll feed back. So okay. I just want to make sure it wasn't me.
No. So
I'm moving my head back and forth like Rain Man here.
Right behind our house is a park. Like literally right behind my window right here is a huge park.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's a kid's like bicycle bell, but it stopped.
Shut up, kids. No,
I know. Damn it. I'm trying to record a podcast. Right.
I'm talking about half pint. So, here's my bell, you know, but, so here we go. We have Almanzo and he's in town and he's, I think he said he went to Sleepy Eye. Right?
I'm not sure. I think that's where he was at.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he specified because my son was asking. He's like, what town is this? Because there's like a saloon and stuff in the background. I was like, I don't know. I think it's Sleepy Eye, Mankato, one of those.
Well, earlier he said that he's going to Sleepy Eye, I think.
Did he? Oh, okay.
Because when he learned of the song, he said to, I keep wanting to call her Hester Sue, but Brenda Sue, he said he's going to pick it up next time he's at Sleepy Eye tomorrow or something.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
You certainly showed up early this morning.
I aim to get back early, too.
60, 70, 72.
Thank you. See you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, now you take care.
Oh.
$72?
What?
Somebody's making loot. Somebody's making cash. So he goes and he buys a copy, and we get a different version of Harriet, I guess, a much more bubbly version in their local mercantile. And I'm just going to play this clip because I just think she's so funny.
Yeah, she.
What?
She is funny. And you're right. She is kind of the Harriet Olsen, but not like the mean Harriet. This thing is goofy.
Harriet's been known to, have a little sweetness on top of her bitterness.
When she wants something.
Yes.
May I help you?
Yes, I'm looking for a gift.
What did you have in mind?
And her character is enamored with this blonde-haired, tall, handsome gentleman.
Oh, she is giddy.
Yeah.
Sure, something for my wife.
Birthday?
No, just a gift.
Oh, that's so sweet. Men rarely do that.
Buy gifts for their wives?
When there's no special occasion. Now, let me see. Perfume. Here, you try these.
Mm, sure.
No, he smells the perfume and he kind of does the whole eyebrow up thing. Almost, not quite like it's smelling salt, but then he buys it. So I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, he does have like a cringy look too. I don't know if he's doing that to her because she just won't stop talking.
Yeah.
Or if it is the smell of the perfume.
My late husband never got me a gift unless we had an argument. So finally I decided I just argue with him all the time. That way I get something every day.
You must miss him.
Why should I miss him? I see him at home every night.
I thought you said your late husband.
I did. He's always late. That's what we argue about.
That's like a total family circus type of joke right there.
Yeah.
Did you ever read Family Circus?
Oh, I loved it when I was a kid. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's weird. You go back and read Family Circus and you're like, this isn't funny. It's like,
oh, I'm sure it's not. I think I was just excited there was cartoons in the newspaper.
Yes. But it was funny because, I don't know, I always thought of Family Circus as having some type of correlation with Little House. Same type of light humor, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to go back and see if there's any reference. But so he buys the perfume. Wonderful. What a lovely thing. Also, this is another one of these situations where, just buy your wife a present and it'll make everything okay.
And everything's all better again. Yeah.
Even though I don't really think he did that much wrong, personally.
I mean, no, he really is trying to figure out why she's so mad.
I mean, it's just an argument. It's really not that big of a deal in my eyes.
But it's their first argument as a married couple.
Now, Laura becomes exactly what she despises in the classroom, I think, which is just funny. It's just, she becomes so mean and I don't know. It's, she becomes an adult again here, I think.
You're right, yeah.
No, it wasn't in Philadelphia. Who knows the correct answer? Susan? Boston? It was New York City. Who was vice president under George Washington? Timothy?
James Madison?
It wasn't James Madison, it was John Adams. Now, I will not tolerate such sloppy class preparation. If you want to fail, that's up to you.
No. Normally, right? I think when you were in school, certainly when I was in school, you would stay and continue learning, right? Until you got it right. In 1880, they had a different method of teaching. So you actually get rewarded for not knowing. So here we go.
I'm dismissing the class early, and I suggest you use the time to study because Woo-hoo! There's a test tomorrow.
It's just like...
Yeah, that is funny. So Levi said that she's a lousy teacher because she's yelling at the kids for not knowing anything. It's like, well, she should teach better.
And plus, this isn't really learning. This is just memorizing. So
yeah,
it really goes against my entire opinion about teaching, but of course, she's 16, so...
Yeah, she is trying. She's trying to impress the whole town by being the fantastic teacher of Walnut Grove.
Yeah.
Class dismissed.
We have Albert, who's like...
What the hell was that, Laura?
Well, what's wrong?
Nothing's wrong.
Something must be the matter. I've never seen you like this.
I'd rather not discuss it right now.
I just thought if you had a
When
problem.
We're in school, I'm your teacher, not your sister. If I feel like getting angry at the class, I'll get angry at the class.
Fine with me, teacher.
Boom. Ouch. Ice.
Yeah, jeez Louise.
Yeah, they calm it down already. So, you know, things are pretty rough here, and this is kind of where the show starts crescendoing into craziness. Laura sees Brenda Sue walking, and it is weird that we've never seen this character. We've never heard of this character. Even Pa knows her, of course, and saying, I'm so proud of her. And it's kind of strange. But here we go. Laura is going to confront her in front of everyone.
Hello, Laura.
How are you today?
Fine. I just ran into your father.
How nice. Have you run into Almanzo today, too?
By the way, Pa was buying another picture window to replace the one that Laura broke.
Right, yeah. So this is his second window he just received at the mercantile.
Yeah.
No.
You mean you actually let a day go by without seeing him?
Laura, what is this?
Just how much have you been seeing of Almanzo?
Yesterday was the first time I'd seen him in...
Days? Hours?
That's ridiculous.
Is it?
Yes, I had some news I wanted to tell him.
Oh, I'm sure my only love had a great deal of news to tell him.
Now this, I just want to point out, this is the beginning of the Three's Company part of the show.
Oh my gosh, I know. I was going to say the same thing. It's like, oh, one of these misunderstanding, miscommunication episodes.
Right, and that's really, I mean, we talk about Three's Company on Retro TV. I'm just going to drop it out there again. And it's basically what happens in each and every Three's Company episode from the 70s throughout the 80s. And that's basically what this is, which I just think is so funny.
Oh, then he told you.
No, you witch! I found out!
Oh! And she mushes her right
that
in the face.
Best. Yeah, that is the God. Best face. Yeah, and it's like, it's the real actor getting thrown down right there in the dirt. That's the best. I had to rewind that a few times because it's seriously, I love it.
And this is in front of the school. Like this is.
I know, right in front of the mercantile and the school and all the kids are out playing.
And let's be honest here. Nobody's going home to study for the stupid test. So everybody's outside playing.
Yeah.
And it's like a riot going on. This I'll play some of the noise. I would love it if I saw teachers fighting, right?
Oh my gosh, that would be the highlight of the year.
Yes, that'd be something you'd still talk about.
You still would, yeah.
So Ma just happens to be in town and she comes over to break it up. Well, actually, I'm sorry. She's working at Caroline's/Nellie's. Right. Taking her a long time to get there. So, you pointed out that the makeup that they put on her face was like Harry Potter, which just made me laugh so
It
much.
Does. There's a great big old lightning bolt right on her forehead.
It's just, the whole thing is just crazy. I was thinking it could be horse manure. What other moisture could be on the ground?
There's nothing. I don't understand. It's just dirt. There's nothing else there. And Brenda Sue doesn't look like she's got grease marks all over her. I have no idea what that is.
Who knows what's on the in the dirt of the town of Walnut Grove? I just, yeah, basically it looks like they took like a paintbrush with black paint and smeared all over her face. I took a screenshot.
Oh, good. Yeah, you know, I had I had to look up the makeup artist. I'm all, who the heck decided to do that?
They probably did it right there. You know, like, kind of just smear something on her face, and there's no such thing as HD. Nobody's going to see the quality.
Yeah, and no one will ever see this again. There's no reruns.
Exactly. So, coming into town, Almanzo's heading back. He's got his new sheet music, and he runs into Charles. Sorry about that. That wasn't queued up very well.
Hey, you're back early.
I kind of hated to leave in the first place. I just went by your house. I thought maybe Beth would be there.
I'm sure she's home by now.
Our place?
That's right.
That sure is good news.
She had some time to think it out.
So did I. You know what I discovered?
What's that?
I sure am lucky.
Now, what bothers me here so much is Charles still thinks that this man called his daughter stupid. It bothers me so much. I don't know. It just, it would change my opinion of somebody if they called another person stupid. You know, it just seems really kind of mean. That's all. And he seemed to have taken it so personal.
Mm-hmm. So. You're right.
I won't argue with you there.
I don't know what you thought I ever saw in Brenda Sue. I never even liked that girl.
Really?
Absolutely. Leaning towards music is all we ever had in common. I better be heading on home. I got a surprise for Beth.
So you're talking to your father-in-law about a girl that you actually do have something in common with, that you dated.
Yeah, he's pretty open about that, which is weird. Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, we didn't get along with very much. We were just two attractive people who talked about music all the time.
Yeah.
Well, get it to her. Take care.
Okay.
And, yeah, so this is kind of funny. But you know what? I think that's Almanzo. That is the guy we love. And no matter what, he's a good guy, I think.
He really is. Always has a big heart.
Now, meanwhile, at the mercantile in the back room, we are on the switchboard. And it's, you know, kind of Harriet's happenings, you know, all over again. The hotline.
Yeah. Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Laura is leaving Almanzo because of Brenda Sue. Yes. They were sweethearts, don't you remember? Yes, 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 indeed. Yes, yes. Well, all right, Elvira. All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
And it's just, she's exhausted from the gossip. She's telling everybody about this. It's so...
Right, she hangs up and then calls the next person.
Yeah.
And she's so sweet as pie. She is this is like the best day of her life.
Oh, hello.
Mrs. Foster? Hello. Harriet here. You've heard the news, haven't you? Oh, you haven't? Oh, well, I hate to be the one to spread bad news, but Laura and Almanzo are getting divorced.
Harriet.
Yes, yes, I'm sure. Well, he's going to marry Brenda Sue Longworth.
Harriet, remember? Stop that.
Nails!
So they get into an argument because she's like, I can do whatever I want. It's my switchboard. And he runs out and he tears down the wires because she might own the switchboard, but he owns the wires.
Yeah, I love it. I'm glad he took control over that.
These are fully exposed wires, too. There's no insulation on them. So I'm kind of curious... you know, I'm going to imagine that's not the way it was back then. They had to be covered with something.
Jeez. Oh, I'm sure it was.
Get electrocuted or something. So it's always funny. Harriet, of course, is adding a little bit of the humor that is so needed in these episodes.
Yeah.
So Laura's just continuing to be upset. This is all out of hand. Pa pulls up with he has his picture window. He's about to deliver it to his home, and he just wants to step into the end of the 19th century with the picture window. Simple things that this man wants.
Charles!
Halfpint, what on earth happened to you? What's going on?
Just take a look at this.
So they show him the letter of My Only Love. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
And they're going back and forth. They don't know what to do here. And let's see. They say, Let's go into town. Let's go deal with this right now.
No, I don't want to see him.
I think your father's right.
Look at me. I'm a mess.
Laura, I...
Half fine. Get in the wagon.
Now, love this it.
Yeah, that's a total dad move right there.
Yep. I don't care if you're a married woman or not. You're listening to me now. Get in that wagon.
Right. This was like, it's one of those kind of things where somebody's hysterical and they slap them in the face or something. And even Caroline's like, I know that voice.
I think you'd better.
He's going to punch you in the face. So she climbs up into the wagon. She's like, all right, Pa. She breaks the window.
The picture window.
It's just the man is defeated. It's just the worst. It's honestly, I think everybody's had this moment where they're trying to do something and just like all these stupid little things keep happening and you're just starting to lose your mind a little bit. So they go home and they walk in and Almanzo is playing the song. And I love this scene. But I love this scene because it's as though nobody walked in. He doesn't stop playing.
Oh, I know. Levi questioned that too. He's all, how come he can't hear three people walk in and stare at him while he's playing this song? But it's just showing that he's really into his music and he's just got tunnel vision for his music right now.
I think it's also, well, it's his character. His character is so focused on these weird things. It's like he can't even stop when his wife who left him walks in with her parents.
With the
fear. Only love.
But I gotta play him actually playing it. It's just so funny, I think.
Be my only love.
And it's like Caroline's looking at Charles like, what the hell's going on here? Is he drunk? And her eyebrows are raised because it's like, did he write this freaking song for her? Like, what is going on here? And Laura's got the arms crossed, and this is not how you fix things. It's so funny.
Right.
Laura! I had reason to believe you were over being mad at me. Guess not.
Of all the low things I've ever heard of.
What are you talking about? Now, what have I done now?
Now, this is the... This is what happens at the end of every episode of Three's Company, where we learn, we get the resolution. Everybody's in the same room finally, and they're talking about it. And everything just kind of turns into a bit of a love fest. Also, his shirt is so strange. It looks like it's like wool, and it's got these kind of pleats. I don't know if you're a 37-47. I don't know if you can get there, but it's... It's just weird. It's a little bit decorative. It's a little decorative. Bit pretty.
It's kind of pretty.
Yeah, it is. It's a very nice blouse.
Yes, he is wearing a blouse, isn't he?
Because if you look at Ma, she has the same design on her shirt.
Oh my gosh.
And I have to ask myself if it's possible. Because his sleeves are rolled up. Is he wearing one of Laura's dresses with pants on? I think things got weird on the Wilder farm while Laura was gone, I think.
That is funny.
Things got, you know, when people are
he ran out of laundry because she didn't have time to do laundry. She could, had no towels. So you might be right. That might be one of her shirts.
Nope. Now, Leah, when people are alone for a period of time, they can get a little bit strange. So,
your mind starts playing with you.
Yeah.
Laura found this on the desk. She came back early to make you breakfast.
So what? I have a habit of writing things down I want to remember.
Things you want to remember? You mean you forget that you love somebody? Did you write down, I don't love Laura anymore, too?
What is all this? It's just the title of Brenda Sue's song.
Really? Well, maybe you should...
The music.
Oh, here we go.
Title of the song that Brenda Sue got published. See?
This should have been the moment where you get a close-up of Caroline rolling her eyes and mouthing, they're so stupid.
I was singing it when you came in.
Oh.
I take it your mother and I can safely assume you'll be spending the evening here.
Idiot.
Having lots of popcorn.
I don't know. I don't know if Almanzo's ready to forgive.
Of course he is. He's a man. Wants his woman back.
He doesn't even realize what happened. It needs to be explained.
He has not even questioned why in the heck does she have marker all over her face.
Right. He's the husband who is talking to his wife for 2 hours, who has spinach in her teeth and doesn't mention it. He just doesn't say, you got a little something there. And they're there for photos or something. So we get a little flirtatious moment on the ride home between Charles and Caroline. And I think it's funny. I think it's, we get to this sometimes where they kind of, they pick on each other a little bit. They understand each other's humor and they know how to push each other's buttons if they really want to, which I just think is so playful and fun. So,
it's a good lesson for all of us. You just can't jump to conclusions about anything. You've got to talk it out.
Right.
I think that's why we get along so well.
Probably. Maybe we get along too well.
What's that supposed to mean?
It's just we haven't had a good argument in a long time.
Something wrong with that?
If you don't have a good argument, you can't make up, and that's fun.
Oh.
When was the last time they had a kid at this point?
I know. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, oh, no, because then they start adopting after that. But I was like, oh, 9 months later, here comes. No, they already have everybody.
The date.
Charles?
Uh-huh?
I wish you wouldn't make promises you can't keep.
What?
You promised me you'd have that picture window in several days ago.
Carolyn, you certainly can't blame me for that.
Well, who am I supposed to blame?
Well, your daughter, that's who.
Well, I don't see how you can blame her for your carelessness.
Now, wait a minute. What do you mean my carelessness? She comes in slamming doors, then she crawls all over the next window. I can't put the window in if she keeps breaking all the panes.
Let's go home and make up.
That was kind of an argument, wasn't it? All right.
Calm it down, woman. Jeez.
I know. I love it, though. They're an older couple, but they still are very playful and in love. And
older? I'm sure I'm older than both of them right here.
Well, not according to 1880.
Well, how old are they supposed to be? I'm going to say they're in their early 40s in real life, right? No.
No, they probably are.
40s? I don't know how old they are. Timeless. That's how old they are.
They are their time, but they have two daughters that are both married now. So like that makes you old at that point.
This is all visual. So I'll just play some of the music. Charles goes and picks up the new plate glass window. This is number three times a charm.
Yep.
And Laura actually stopped by the mercantile. It would have been nice if she paid for it, maybe with her teacher's salary. They do actually have two salaries in their home, and they don't even have a kid, so.
But they have a lot of fancy stuff in their house.
Oh, my God, they do,
that's
right?
That's what they spend, like, everything. Yeah. Even when Almanzo is on the couch and he falls and ends up sleeping on the carpet, mm-hmm. They've got magnificent, it's like this rose carpet, and it's so pretty.
Yeah.
And then here's Ma and Pa. They have, what, dirt floor still?
Right, and they have walls, and it's weird, you know. They actually have, what else did they have that on? They have bronzes, like these sculptures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Where is all this coming from? Do they purchase all this at the mercantile?
Well, isn't it all Eliza Jane's? I thought it was mostly.
It was.
Yeah. Who knows where she got it? She probably went to one of those really good auctions and got everything, you know, for 11 cents or something.
Right.
This is like the next day. All visual. Oh, so this is funny. Laura comes out of the school and she sees Brenda Sue.
Brenda Sue!
So Brenda Sue, like, does, like, a quick U-turn. I don't think that's legal in Walnut Grove. But she does an illegal U-turn right there in the middle of town. And you know what? Doing a U-turn with a horse, I'm going to guess that's very difficult.
It probably is with that big old buggy. Yeah.
Come on. Bouncing everywhere. It can't be easy. And Pa's coming out. He's so happy. Like, he's just a dope, you know. He's holding on to his plate glass window. And she's flying through town about 6 miles per hour. And he dives out of the way before Brenda Sue kills him and breaks the window. Which is
Window's busted.
Yeah, three. Hey, lucky he didn't cut his arm open with that. So that night, we're at the little house and everything seems to be, and I'll just, these are all very visual, I'm sorry. So here's Almanzo playing a little bit. There's a voiceover as Pa's putting in the old window, which has been there for a decade.
At night.
My cues are really bad. I'm really sorry.
We finally had supper together that night, and Almanzo played for hours. Pa didn't play his violin that night. He was busy putting the old window back.
Now, it's so weird. Like, this is 16 little tiny panes of window that he was replacing.
Mm-hmm.
And in my garage, we have, my windows are made up of four panes. They're all from 1925. And they're starting to show that kind of wave because glass, I believe, over time settles. You know, it's kind of like, it's considered a liquid that will always be thicker on the bottom than the top, especially based on gravity. So, and that's another reason why I think, you know, with technology, bigger panes of glass. And one of these broke on mine. And it is such a pain to replace one little pane. To pain to replace a pane.
Yeah,
I didn't mean that. But
Mr. Olson would have loved that joke just now.
He would have went, har, har, har. And here's a licorice. So yeah, it's a tremendous, it's a bit of trouble to replace just one of these little panes. And to replace one whole thing, I mean, it's something I want to do when I replace all of them. I don't know how to do that, though. I need somebody like Pa to come and replace the entire window frame. So,
that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, right. But he'd probably charge an arm and a leg. Also, there's a planter box outside the window. I never noticed that. But there's nothing in the planter box. Sometimes they have flowers in there, but not this time. I like the way that the classic window looks. What about you?
Oh, I do, too. I like that better, actually.
And it's what we're used to. One thing I'm unsure about is if this window is ever updated with the Carters. Something I think we have to keep an eye open for.
I doubt it. I don't know if he ever really worked on the house.
It all looks so new to me when the Carters were there. They really cleaned it up. They used probably the Murphy's oil soap on everything.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah.
I don't know. You know, that stuff that smells really good. But yeah, I like this episode a lot. I think it was a lot of fun. And I think this is also a very good first episode. You know, if people have never seen Little House on the Prairie, have them watch this one. This one, you get the setup of Laura and Almanzo, and you get the love affair and the breaking up and making up and
Yeah, and the Mrs. humor. Olsen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an episode that really has it all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're right. Leaves a lot of questions open as well.
It reels you in for more.
Yeah. But Leah, thank you so much for getting together for this episode of Divorce Walnut Grove Style.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Any support is appreciated.